Well, greetings, imagination connoisseurs. Once again, it is I, your Duke of Dope Discord, your master of fun and wonder, your viceroy of Barrisville students, John Campy, as well. Call me your existential Mr. Rogers, Robert Meyer.
Woo!
And I'm flying solo here, folks, doing an open mic. It's been a while since I've flown solo. I feel that,
I can spread my wings now and again, and, not necessarily the wind beneath my wings, but you know what I mean? It's just me today, folks, and I'm here to answer your questions. I was going to opine on something, but I didn't really have anything to opine about. I have a dog that's about to give birth. To be honest, I've never had a dog that had puppies before, so this is a very new thing for me. Tallulah is a 50% Irish setter, 50% purebred poodle, so she's an Irish doodle. And she was mated with Sebastian, who's a purebred poodle. So she's going to have, I think it's called F1B. So her puppies will be 25% Irish setter and 75% purebred standard poodle. And they're going to be hella cute. But I wish it would happen already. But that said, I don't know if anyone, not really entertainment related. Certainly it's entertaining for me. Or maybe it won't be. I don't know. You'll see videos. Puppy cam will be operational soon. And on that note, what do you guys want to know? What do you want to talk to me about? I have no idea. Jang Wang Lin says, will the news of WWE plans affect the Rings of Power? Oh, that's a really interesting question. Because from what I understand, the rights that Amazon has are the exact same rights that Warner Brothers now has, except Amazon has them for broadcast, streaming, essentially TV rights. Warner Brothers has the exact same rights, but for the movies. So theoretically, if, say, they hired Peter Jackson, Fran Walsh, and Philippa Boyens to make Lord of the Rings movies, they could make the same story that Amazon's doing. Exact same story, but as movies, but they can't do them as a streaming show. So you could literally have the same material covered in two different mediums by two different studios. I'm not saying that's going to happen, but it could happen. And that's pretty damn crazy. I was not a fan of the first season of Rings of Power. So, it got a little bit better, but we'll see. But yes, I don't know what's going to happen, to be honest. It's fascinating. Casey Mack says, I watched the new trailer to Paramount Plus, their new show called Rabbit Hole, and it gave me the 24 vibes. God, how I missed that show. Casey, I too, there it is, Rabbit Hole. It looks great. I mean, government conspiracy, I don't know what, Kiefer Sutherland, basically, come on. I'm just going to call him Jack Bauer. I have a great Jack Bauer action figure. And I'm going to call him Jack Bauer. That's what I thought when I saw the trailer. But it looks really good. I love, if you think about it, in the 70s, Paramount Pictures, they made some great movies that were heavily influenced. The X-Files was heavily influenced by them. If you have never seen The Parallax View with Warren Beatty or 3 Days of the Condor with Robert Redford, check those out. That's kind of why also Robert Redford, he's also in All the President's Men, but that's a Warner Brothers movie. Check those out, preparing yourself for Rabbit Hole. Parallax View and 3 Days of the Condor, if you haven't seen them. Also, Marathon Man. See that too. But I don't think that's Paramount. Maybe it is. I don't remember. But that's a good one. So, Alex Von Gollum, speaking of Middle Earth, hi, Geo and team. Well, it's the team. Given Quantumania's 69% drop, if the movie isn't profitable, will Marvel have to apply a significant shift to their Phase 5 and 6 strategy? I would say, well, they've already got it laid out. Look at me. There I am as MODOK. I'd like to kill people if I was like that, And clearly somebody gave me a script to read in the quantum realm.
How is it so far?
I turned into MODOK and somebody comes out to me in the quantum realm with a screenplay. What does that say about me? I think that that, look at the Ray made it and he's laughing.
Read it.
I would say though that this actually is maybe it's a referendum on Marvel and what people want. Like I've always said, my unified field theory of superheroics in movies, I go back to the idea that the Marvel Cinematic Universe was very successful because they presented superheroes in the real world as opposed to, say, like Anton Furst's production design for Batman 89. That clearly was taking place in what I would call movie world. The buildings were like gothic. It didn't take place in an environment that was real. Whereas the MCU, you know, when you see Iron Man, for the most part, it's set pretty much in our world. You could believe that Tony Stark had that house in Malibu. Even when there's a cool jet, when he flies on that jet with Rhodey, it's obviously a futuristic jet, but it looks real. So you believe that Iron Man, you believe the Avengers, you know, when they're fighting in New York, it's New York City. It's not some Blade Runner-esque version of New York. It's New York. And I think that what's happening with the Marvel Cinematic Universe, we've got, you know, Thor Love and Thunder. Wakanda's kind of, you know, it's more in the real world, but you have Thor Love and Thunder and now Quantumania. And I think they're too far removed from the reality that we like our superheroics in. Even when you go to like Xandar in the first Guardians of the Galaxy, it looks like a real place. You know, and I think that helps sell the reality of the MCU, whereas Thor, Love, and Thunder and Quantumania, and to a certain extent, the TVA and everything that happened in the Loki show, even though I like the Loki show, I thought it pushed the boundaries of what we understand to be reality a little too far. It went into that Terry Gilliam kind of Brazil land, and I think that kind of, it stretches the credulity of the universe, which is something that we don't like very much. So when you're in the quantum realm, there's nothing that's real, so it's hard to grasp on to anything, and I don't think it entirely works, and that's why, and it certainly isn't like any of the other two Ant-Man movies. Anyway, I hope that wasn't too long and rambling of a response. Ray's telling me it was long. John would do this as we're recording. He'd be like, it up. And I'm sorry. Sorry.
It's interesting. There's a few people in the live chat saying that was some good Photoshop. Oh, I'm really blurry. This looks great. Never looked better. But what Photoshop? I don't see any Photoshop. I only see Rob in the quantum realm.
You're
funny.
Ha, 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 ha. I see what you're doing there. Always the butt of everyone's jokes, I am.
Oh, no. The butt? The butt?
Does MODOK have that butt?
Oh, my gosh.
Give me a little MODOK. It's like in Beverly Hills Cop, the chief didn't chew your ass off. You still got a little bit left over there.
Oh, boy.
Rob, have you had any nightmares yet about MODOK's little minions butt? It reminds me of the minions from Despicable Me.
To be honest, when I dream of butts, it's not MODOK's I dream of.
You smile, right?
I'm sorry about that. You know?
Elaborate.
Well, I like big butts, and I cannot lie.
Ooh, sir,
you other brothers can't deny.
All right.
When a girl walks in with an itty bitty waist and a round thing in your face, you get sprung. Well, Taylor, you don't. You get sprung.
Spoiler alert. Oh, boy. You want to move on to the next question or you want to rap some more? I'm kind of down for some more Rob rap.
Demonetized. Kenneth Colton says, it's game day.
Game day.
Mando season 3 tonight. I can't wait, actually. The only thing that I know we both are going to dislike is the 35-minute runtime for the first episode. Is that true? The Last of Us have been spoiling us with hour-plus shows. Is that true? It's only 35 minutes?
Well, you have to think of all the other ones.
It's like, you know, Mandalorian, the sitcom. Look, I'm stoked about it. I don't care how long it is. I'm just glad to see Mando come back. I want to see all those other Mandalorians with all their armor. That's going to cost me an arm and a leg if I want to buy the Hot Toys versions of them. And why not? Doesn't everybody? Very excited. Very excited. Look at that. Bo-Katan. Look at that helmet, man. Love it.
Rob, do you have any predictions for tonight? Who's going to show up? What's going to happen? Any predictions?
I honestly don't. I mean, I think there's going to be more than one Mandalorian. I think there's going to be a lot of Katie Sackhoff this season, which I think is always a good thing. I can't wait. I love her.
Yeah.
We'll see. I mean,
if you guys, it's not in this shot, but in the other shot where Chris normally sits, you can see my Bo-Katan helmet that I got at Disneyland. I love
it's, that helmet. That Bo-Katan helmet's the best.
Yeah.
It's great.
It's so great. I can't wait to see her.
Game day. All right.
Maybe.
Just a sub 32. Every time I see that name, I think, who's the Dom? With Justin Roiland of Rick and Morty. It's Roiland. Yeah, Justin Roiland. I see comments saying that Adult Swim should simply cancel the show. What are your thoughts on this? Personally, I'll give the season without him a chance. Look, there's a lot of other people that work on that show. I mean, I hate it when shows end too soon because then people are out of work. So, yeah, I we'll see. I mean, if they can continue it going on and it's good, let it continue. If it's not good, don't let it continue. But hopefully we're getting another season at least, so we'll see. I really like Rick and Morty, and I want it to continue. I really do. We'll see what happens.
All right, while Rob was talking about Rick and Morty and not rapping for some reason, I went and I grabbed my Bo-Katan helmet. You guys, how sick is this? It takes batteries and it makes noises and lights up, but I haven't put batteries in yet. This thing is so fun. I cannot wait for tonight. I hope Bo-Katan's in the season premiere.
She will be.
I really hope.
The Everything Entertainment Network sends in a $20 super chat. Thanks very much. I appreciate that. Everything Entertainment. Idea I had. If the main X-Men roster is introduced as part of a collapsing universe during Secret Wars, requiring Xavier to gather up the mutants he can, and they become refugees into the main Earth once the multiverse collapses, and that's that's two $20 super chats in a row.
Thank you
so much. Collapses, and that's what causes society to hate mutants. It makes the mutants an allegory to the immigration debate, similar to the civil rights allegory of the original comics run. You know what, that's not a bad idea. I like you know, they've done that in other science fiction things, like Alien Nation, if you remember that movie in the TV series, the aliens, or in District 9, you know, how the aliens were definitely a stand-in for our own immigration policies. I don't dislike that. I think that's actually a pretty good idea. I just think that the way they're going to introduce mutants is that mutants have always been here, and we just haven't seen them yet. And people would say, well, Rob, where were they in the Battle of New York, and what about Thanos? Well, they just didn't know. It's not like they're, if the Avengers are not, if the mutants or Xavier's school is unknown to the larger world, and the Avengers just don't know that they're there, they haven't decided to reveal themselves yet. But maybe we'll find out that they've been here for a long time. I love this picture from, was that X-Men 2, right?
Mm-hmm. X-Men 2.
Love it. I worked on that. By the way, I did produce the special features for the X-2. Mm-hmm. It's on Blu-ray.
Hey, Rob, who's gonna be interviewing you about that soon?
Well, you know, Taylor, I heard today, just today, as a matter of fact, just mere moments ago, that Taylor Gonzalez, the man sitting right over there, I'm going to make him wear the Bo-Katan helmet while he's doing is going to do an interview with me on his own channel, 50 Shades of Tay. And it's going to be fun.
It's true.
He's going to ask me the probing questions others don't ask me.
It's true. I'm going to be probing Rob on my YouTube channel, 50 Shades of Tay. I'm going to be doing a career overview with Rob. You guys are going to be so impressed with the knowledge I already have about Rob without even having to look anything up. And I am so excited to do this because Rob has a very, very impressive filmography career. And I just think it's going to be fun to sit down one-on-one and just go over all of the accomplishments you have. And I'm so excited to do this with you.
Well, I'm excited too on 50 Shades of Tay.
Tay.
Suthius. Man, I love that name. You know what? Whenever I see Suthius, there was a movie that came out in the early days of home video called Slithus. And it had like kind of a man in a suit and a nuclear power plant in the background, and it was on Mita, then later Media Home Entertainment. It was on VHS. And whenever I see Suthius, it reminds me of that VHS tape. It was one of the first VHS tapes I ever rented. So I was like, seeing your name, Suthius. In Schnepp's voice, yo, son, Master Replicas is officially opening online in a couple of days. Really hoping they continue the Star Trek diecast line. Well, supposedly they are. And they're going to make all of the Eagle Moss product available. Hopefully they'll continue it, because I was collecting their XL line of ships, and I didn't have all of them yet. And what I really want is, I've been buying the Eagle Moss part works of the Enterprise D, and I want to complete mine. So hopefully it'll happen.
The Enterprise.
Listen,
D?
I say Enterprise D. Yes, the next generation, seven seasons, generations, and it crashed on, destroyed by the Duras sisters, which was lame, and then it crashed on the planet Viridian 3. Bye-bye, Enterprise D. But
D.
I mean, it did, if you really think about it, they did drop the D on Viridian 3.
So would you say that the Enterprise D docked its shuttle bay and its shuttlecraft?
Yeah, it certainly did. Well, it did. There was a saucer separation.
Rob, sometimes he's leading you somewhere you don't want to be.
It's true.
I'm leading him to scripts.
You can
lead a Rob to scripts, but you can't make him read them.
Okay, I have no idea. Next.
Okay. Culture Wars Diplomacy says, the more iconic of a character image, the less leeway you have to play with that. Like, Jason Momoa looks like Conan, even if not Arnold. Yeah, that's true. I think that's true. I mean, you know, it's funny. I didn't think Jason Momoa's Conan movie was terrible. You know, it wasn't great, but it wasn't terrible. And again, I mean, it's crazy. Last year, 2022, was the 40th anniversary of Arnold's Conan movie. But yeah, I mean, when people look iconic, people have those iconic looks, sometimes it's hard for them to escape those roles because they look iconic in them. So I don't care what anybody says. I know there's online chatter about Aquaman 2 not being good, but I think it's going to be great. I love the first one. I love Momoa as Aquaman. And I think I like Dude Bro Aquaman. Do you guys like Dude Bro Aquaman? Guess there's no opinion.
I was waiting for Ray.
I don't know who that is.
Jason Momoa. Do you like him? He plays Aquaman as the Dude Bro.
I'm still waiting for Ray to answer. I'm being a gentleman. I do like
him. You don't know who Jason Momoa is?
Aquaman? Oh, yeah, I know. But Dude Bro, who's Dude Bro?
Well, he's like the Dude Bro Aquaman. Bro.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, he's good.
I guess that's what Dude Bros do. They go, yah.
Wait, what do they do? I'll put you full screen. What do they do?
Dude Bros go, yah. I don't even know what they're doing.
Do you think that the Dude Bro Aquaman could involve himself or exist? There we go. Exist in the universe that goes, meanwhile.
No. The meanwhile at the Hall of Justice. That is not Dude Bro Aquaman. That's Arthur Curry, blonde hair, very, very white.
So then the question is, if he can't be in the meanwhile universe, how would the word meanwhile be spoken in his Dude Bro universe?
Meanwhile, dude, at the Hall of Justice.
That sounds like Crash from Finding Nemo. That's meanwhile. Perfect.
Dude, all I want is some tasty waves, a cool buzz, and I'm fine.
You guys ever want to know what a show sounds like when it falls off?
Dr. Bright says, what is a character actor? I've heard the distinction when certain actors are brought up. Aren't all actors by definition character actors? Here's the thing. There are leading men and leading lady actors, and they are traditionally, for lack of a better term, movies or TV stars. They're usually the lead actor on a show or the movie. Now, a character actor is somebody who you'll see them in all different kinds of things. They get hired all the time because they might not have, like, I'll tell you who I think is a great character actor, even though he was one of the leads on The West Wing. Richard Schiff, to me, is a, you'll see him, he shows up in all different kinds of movies. He was Toby Ziegler in The West Wing, but that was an ensemble. But he's a great character actor. He works all the time in different things. He's in movies and TV shows. He'll play a scientist or a politician or something. but no one's really ever built a TV show around him. So a character actor is somebody that usually supports the lead actor. But the thing about character actors is they work a lot more, you know, because they have much more diversity. They can jump from movies to TV. They can be semi-regulars on a show, but they're not like leading men or leading ladies. So that's what a character actor is. But yeah, theoretically, all actors are character actors. But there are some like Clint Eastwood is a leading man. He was a leading man all the way back to Rawhide when he was on that. But you know, when you see Clint Eastwood, because of the way he looks like a leading man. He's got those leading man looks. So a guy like him would not be a good character actor, because if he was part of an ensemble, you'd be constantly looking at him, and he would probably detract from the lead. So that's one of the things about character actors. I call them naturalistic. They look more like ordinary people as opposed to those screen idols with the beautiful good looks. So that's kind of not that they're not attractive people, of course. It's just that they don't look like matinee idols. And that's what makes great character actors is because there's a believability to them that you can't fake. So I love some of my favorite actors, even though he's been in like Third Rock, like John Lithgow, who's in the new Apple Plus movie Sharper. I love John Lithgow. He's great. And I would call him, he can be a lead, but like the first time I ever saw him was in World According to Garp. And he was fantastic in that film, playing somebody who was, I guess, transgendered. And he was great in that role. And that was the first time I ever saw him. But again, he's great in anything he does. But he's usually, I would say, John Lithgow is a character actor. So I hope that. So I can get serious.
I know it got very serious in here, but it's mainly because I was looking up something that came in the mail. But I'm going to save what it is for two super chats from now. Jesse Has a Turtle wrote in something, and I feel like this is very, I don't know, on topic with that. So I'll save it.
All right. Well, who's next here? Miguel Zayn. Also, what are some films of the last decade that y'all would consider as would-be classics? Mine includes Everything Everywhere All at Once, Get Out, Parasite, Ex Machina, Blade Runner. What else? Thanks. That's a great question. I mean, I would say Dune. You know, I think Dune's probably going to go down as a science fiction classic. And God, that's tough. But I think your list is a good list. That's hard. I don't know, you guys. What are some classic films that you'd consider that would transcend time and be considered real classics? Do you have anything that
I have one?
Zach knows exactly how to answer this.
No, I have a real one. But it's a remake and it's also an adaptation. But I would say Dune. I would say that. What was that? 2021.
Yeah, I said that's what I said was Dune.
Well, I was Googling images.
Yeah, you were paying attention to what I was just saying.
I agree with Rob.
Yeah, I mean, there's nothing I think Tarantino movies always are going to transcend time. I think Once Upon a Time in Hollywood probably.
Dune.
This is the episode that I die. This is like so funny.
Wow. That was great timing, Ray.
Ray, that was lit.
That was really, really well done.
What do you know, man?
Well, someone in the live... I'm not going to do it. I was going to say, someone in the live chat just said Dune.
You know? I'm interested to know how many questions we have and how much time has passed.
Aren't we having fun, though?
Yeah. No. That's what this show's about. We are shooting the shiz with everyone, right? Everyone in the chat.
That's right. Everyone who's here is having a great time.
No holds barred, baby.
That's right. We're all having fun.
The realness comes out.
We're all having a gay old time over here.
Flintstones, meet the Flintstones. They're a modern Stone Age family. Do we have anybody? This is a show where people ask questions. There we go. Jesse Has a Turtle said, Rob, I also collect figures, and my biggest problem is displaying them all. How have you tackled this, or are you just like me and have most hidden away? Jesse, this is the eternal question that all collectors have to grapple with. I have most of my figures on display in what are called Modu cases, which I really like. I have a bunch of what are called DF60s. They're about, I don't know, they're like this big. They're cubes that are like, the, you know, and I can fit, and you can fit, they're like as tall as two Hot Toys, sometimes even taller. And I put them all together, so it looks like Hollywood Squares. There's 9 of them. And I have a lot of my figures in there. And it's cool because they're pretty versatile. You can light them up differently however you want, and you can expand them if you need more. And I that's how I display my stuff. But I have so many different things. I've got bottle spaceships, and I've got figures, and I've got
the Enterprise books.
The Enterprise D is not built yet. I have to get the rest, but I hope. I mean, I'm in the middle of putting a 4.5-foot space battleship Andromeda from Star Blazers together right now, and everyone's like, well, where are you going to put that, Rob? I'm like, maybe right here in the middle of the kitchen. Of course, Elizabeth gets upset. But no, I mean, here's the thing. As I've gotten older, I've kind of decided that if I'm going to collect something, if I'm not going to take it out of the box and enjoy it, why collect it? You know, what are you trying to do? So, yeah. That's kind of where I'm coming from now.
All right, so this is what I was up to that whole time when I didn't know you talked about Dune. Something came in the mail right now that I ordered in December, and it is now almost March. Tomorrow will be March 1st, and it has finally arrived in the mail. It's a collectible. It is the Guillermo del Toro Netflix Pinocchio with Cricket, the Funko Pop. Very excited to get home and say hello to him. I love the character design. I'm so happy this is finally here.
That's really cool. That's a really cool Funko Pop. Yeah.
I love it.
I like that a lot. That's really neat. Brazilian dude sends in a $20 super chat. Brazilian dude, you've said true acts of friendship make you emotional. Have you seen Our Friend with Casey Affleck? True story about a guy that moves into his friend's house to help him and his family throughout his wife's cancer treatment. Oh, man, I'm getting all choked up just reading this super chat. No, Brazilian dude, I have not seen this movie. But I really like Casey Affleck. I mean, if you ever seen Manchester by the Sea, it's just heartbreaking. But that sounds good to me. I like movies like that. So I will definitely check that out. I'll have to find out where it's streaming. But that sounds great. Sounds great to me. 100%. Nico says, unfortunately, I didn't enjoy Ant-Man Quantumania. I think I'm experiencing superhero movie fatigue, which sucks. But I still watch you, Rob. You rule. Yes. Yes, I do. But I mean, it's not for me to say that I rule. So when you say that I rule, it means a lot. And I appreciate that. That's very nice of you to say. But I don't know. Look, I don't necessarily think the only thing that is fatiguing is when a superhero movie is mediocre. Like we talked about it. It's mediocrity. If you've got a succession of great superhero movies, people will watch them. You know, I mean, Infinity War and Endgame are endlessly rewatchable to me. I love those movies. And I can watch them, you know, whenever. And I never get tired because they work for me on every level. Quantumania, I didn't even love it as an Ant-Man movie. You know, I really like Ant-Man and Ant-Man and the Wasp. And I think some of the charm of the character and the situations he found himself in was lost. I would love to have seen a Kang origin movie, you know, that was just Jonathan Majors being Kang. Where'd he start? You know, I would love to have seen that. But I can understand why Quantumania felt tiresome to you, because it did to me too. And I wanted to love it. I went in and wanted to love that movie. And I didn't love it. I don't know. What's next? Red One Real Talk says, have you seen the trailer for the Apple TV series Extrapolations? Interesting concept and stacked cast, but the trailer felt a little cringy. Red One Real Talk, I've been talking to people about Extrapolations a lot. And basically it's going to be, I guess, an anthology about the next 50 years of our planet being faced with global warming and how that's going to affect us. I mean, as a science fiction fan, I've been reading books about global warming. I remember I read one. Norman Spinrad is one of my favorite science fiction writers. He also wrote for TV. He wrote the Doomsday Machine episode of the original Star Trek. But he wrote a book called Greenhouse Summer that took place like 50 years from now, where the Earth had warmed up and Paris was basically a tropical city now. I know that there's a lot of people that talk about like the idea of environmental science and whether or not global warming, whether or not we're affecting global warming. But I mean, I think it's pretty obvious that since the industrial age, our industries have been pumping out particulate matter into the atmosphere that didn't exist, say, 500 years ago. So it's not surprising to me. I mean, it's like when you light a fire in your house. If you forget to close or you forget to open the vent in the chimney, your house fills up with smoke.
And Santa catches on fire.
And, well, I never thought about that. Santa catches on fire too, according to Taylor. But yeah, it does look like the way. And the trailer did have a little bit of cringe in it, but I do like the vision. I loved, even in a movie like Blade Runner, it's always raining because of the pollution in the environment. And that has been a staple of science fiction for a very long time. So it's not like, oh, it's, you know, they're trying to push climate science on us. Well, look, it's been a staple. I mean, if you go back all the way to 1971 in the movie Silent Running, the last forests that existed were now on spaceships traveling throughout the solar system, which I always liked. And by the way, Arrow just released Silent Running in 4K. So there you go.
Nice.
Yeah, I know. What's next? Red One Real Talk, or Red One Real Talk asks a question. Ooh, he's cheeky. Does Secret Invasion have potential to be a saga that runs beyond the show? I love the comic run, and I hope that the story has a bigger place in the MCU. What can I say about this? I don't know. It has a great... actually, it's building on Captain Marvel. Captain Marvel's not in it, but it's building on Captain Marvel in the sense that that's where we were introduced. They introduced the Skrulls into the MCU. And this is a very... Secret Invasion, obviously, is a very Skrull-centric story. But it kind of harks back to immigration and the idea of what happens when the Skrulls are displaced and they don't really have a place in the universe, and how do we fit in and all that. It's pretty neat. I love the scripts. I thought they were great. And don't laugh. They were good.
Can you repeat that? And then can someone please clip that out and send it to me so I could have it as my text tone for every time Rob texts me?
I love the scripts. No, I did. And I thought that it had a really interesting theme, and I really appreciated the story. And it was great. It felt like, you know, S.H.I.E.L.D. meets Bond. It was with aliens. So it was awesome. Loved it. Hopefully it's great. John Redcorn says, after a 70% drop and a $200 million budget, do you think Ant-Man will be profitable or lose money? Also, will there be an Ant-Man 4? Good questions, both. I think it's too early to see where, if it's going to lose money or not, because we'll see how it does foreign. I mean, a lot of the time, movies make only 30% of their earnings in the United States, and we have to look at worldwide earnings to really get a larger picture. I've not looked at the worldwide box office, where it's at, but it might be doing better internationally than it is here. So it might very well be profitable, but I don't know. They're talking that it's only going to earn out. I was reading an article yesterday that it might only make $500 million. That's not good. Not good for a Marvel movie. So hopefully it'll make more, especially a movie that costs as much as Quantumania did. There's no mania for the quantum realm, unfortunately, which is kind of a bummer. So what are you going to do? What's next? Eddie Vedder stunt double. Did you guys see Cameron Crowe's movie Singles? Eddie Vedder is in that. He's part of Matt Dillon's band Citizen Dick.
What?
Citizen Dick and their album Touch Me, I'm Dick. It's true. If you haven't seen Cameron Crowe's Singles, you should check it out. It's got a great score. The rest of Pearl Jam, Stone, Jeff Ament, Stone Goff, Stone Cotter, are in it as well. So, and Eddie Vedder.
I think that's the first time I've ever been speechless, Rob.
You're speechless?
Yeah.
Well,
I know. He took my breath away.
We're going to rock Portland. I haven't even gotten to a super chat yet. Since it was already revealed in the trailers for 65 that it takes place on an ancient Earth, do you think there is another twist we don't know about? Yes. Adam Driver is Adam as in Adam and Eve.
Probably. Wow.
Or not.
Oh, you're such a jerk, man, if that's true.
If that's true, that's crazy.
But that's an old trope that goes back all the way to the Twilight Zone.
Mopey.
Battlestar Galactica.
After Creed 3 last night, 65 is my most anticipated movie.
Really?
I'm getting really excited for this movie for some strange reason. I told you, I have some strange...
It looks pretty cool.
I have some strange dinosaur love. Same love I have for robots. Mm-hmm. It's the same. It's just, I get excited because, like, you know, seeing them on screen, I'm still not tired of seeing dinosaurs on screen.
Yeah.
Especially when they eat people.
I think the twist is that it's not really 65, it's 69.
I can only hope the view's better. What's next? Culture Wars Diplomacy is back and says, my dad, the bounty hunter, was a pleasant surprise with some deep emotional storytelling and some themes of corporate cooperation and greed, or corporate corporations and greed, all in a TV Y7? Year 7? I wasn't going to watch My Dad, the Bounty Hunter, but if you have good things to say about it, and there's more to it than just that, I'll tune in. I'll check it out. Glad to hear it. I mean, look, I want every show to be good, even My Dad, the Bounty Hunter. So if My Dad, the Bounty Hunter has more cultural relevance and it talks about corporate greed and malfeasance and all that, I'm in. Count me in. I want to watch.
Do you think that My Dad, the Bounty Hunter is a spinoff of Dog, the Bounty Hunter, and it's about his children?
I have no idea. Is it?
I hope.
Could be.
Well, I think it's time that we take a break and thank our sponsors of this episode of Open Mic. Today, we're thanking Rocket Money and Mint Mobile.
Thanks, Rocket
Money. Guys, we want to thank a sponsor of this video, Rocket Money. The average person has around 12 paid subscriptions. Think about that. If you think you're only subscribed to a handful of services, you might want to double check. With Rocket Money, you can quickly identify and cancel all of your unwanted subscriptions. Rocket Money, formerly known as Truebill, is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitor your spending, and helps you lower your bills all in one place. Rocket Money will quickly and easily identify your subscriptions for you so you can stop paying for the ones you don't want and don't even use. Simply find the subscription you don't want and press cancel, and Rocket Money will cancel it for you. No more long hold times with customer service or tedious emailing back and forth. Rocket Money makes canceling subscriptions as easy as the click of a button. My wife Ann and I moved out of Burbank 2 years ago, and one of the first things I discovered when I loaded up Rocket Money was that I was still paying for a gym membership I haven't even been to in Burbank in 2 years. So stop throwing away your money. Cancel unwanted subscriptions and manage your expenses the easy way by going to rocketmoney.com/campia. That's rocketmoney.com/campia. rocketmoney.com/campia. We want to take a second to thank a sponsor of this video, Mint Mobile. If saving more and spending less is one of your top goals for 2023, why are you still paying insane amounts of money every month for your phone bill? Switching to Mint Mobile is the easiest way to save this year. As the first company to sell premium wireless service online only, Mint Mobile lets you order from home and save a ton with phone plans starting at just $15 a month. You guys know I made the switch over to Mint Mobile a while ago. The process couldn't have been easier, and I can't believe that I am spending less than a third of what I was spending on one of the other major carriers before. By going online only and eliminating the traditional costs of retail, Mint Mobile passes the significant savings on to you. All plans come with unlimited talk, text, and high-speed data delivered on the nation's largest 5G network. Use your own phone with any Mint Mobile plan and switch easily in minutes with eSIM. To get your new wireless plan for just $15 a month and get the plan shipped to your door free, go to mintmobile.com mintmobile.com/Campia. That's mintmobile.com/Campia. Cut your wireless bill to $15 a month at mintmobile.com/Campia.
And thanks to Rocket and Mint Mobile for sponsoring this episode of the John Campia Open Mic. Well, Taylor?
Yes?
What else is coming? What else is coming down the pike? What are you throwing at me? Miguel Zan comes back and says, I rewatched Everything Everywhere All at Once recently, and after months of saying that The Fabelmans should win Best Picture, maybe it's recency bias, but Everything Everywhere is just too good to lose. Fableman still has a high chance, in my opinion, but I don't know. Look, I think that, especially after the SAG Awards, that Everything Everywhere is the odds-on favorite to win. I would say it is.
Did you know you could buy this pet rock on the A24 website?
I did not know that. That's very, very cool. The A24 website, they have some great stuff.
They do.
They've had great versions of their movies that they put out. Like, they had a great director's cut of Midsummer. That's very, very cool. Look at that. Pet Rock from the 70s, man.
Well, I also heard they had like a Marcel the Show.
Yeah. Oh, crazy, you know? My God, Ray.
You know, I heard that one's pretty cool. I mean, I haven't seen it yet in person.
Somebody
this
got it.
Some shenanigans. Ray's been asking me for Somebody months knows. To bring this in, and I keep forgetting, but I'm going to bring it in tomorrow, Ray, I promise. I'll show you guys, though. I actually did an unboxing video of it on my YouTube channel, but there's a little Marcel the Shell figure.
That's
from
so
the
awesome.
A24 website. There's something else on there too that I would recommend, but I can't put a picture of it on here because we'll get demonetized. But if you've seen Everything Everywhere All at Once, there is a specific trophy for being Auditor of the Year, and you know what it's shaped like, what it looks like. They sell that as a candle, and you can put it on your mantle.
So, wow.
Pretty cool stuff on their website.
I know. I love A24. They're great. Mr. Hank Dunn says, I think the way Marvel explains multiverses is the problem, not the multiverses itself. KISS, keep it simple, stupid. No need to overanalyze how it works. Now, I think you're making a good point there. I don't think they've really defined the multiverse enough. Is it, I mean, what's the difference between an alternate timeline and the multiverse? Is there a difference? How does Marvel define it? I think with the multiverse saga, we've got, like, at the end of Loki, did the whole universe just fracture apart? Look, I posited the theory that all of Phase 4 was taking place in different universes. So it wasn't our universe. Oh. It was different universes. So I don't know if that's true, but that's how come no one seems to be too concerned about the Celestial and the Ocean.
Oh, no.
Or Arishem the Judge.
Here we go.
Sorry.
Tell us, Rob, what's going on in that ocean?
No, I don't know. I don't know.
Meanwhile, in the MCU's ocean, there's some shit going down.
Okay.
Thank you, sponsors.
There you go. Thank you very much. Eddie Vedder's stunt double says, at what point does it become a problem, if any, if Lucasfilm Disney continues to not focus on putting Star Wars back on the big screen? Well, I mean, I don't think it's necessarily a problem. I think they're losing money. I mean, I don't know people, but here's the thing. Just because you have an IP, you have to nurture the IP. I mean, you have to make sure that it's great. And corporations are not designed to do that. They hire people that look good maybe on paper, but that's not always when you're trying to create art and the thing about movies is they're a great collision between art and commerce. And as movies have become more and more expensive, studios become more risk averse. So they want a sure thing. But the problem is a lot of the people that are on their short lists to hire might not be the best people to actually make Star Wars, even though they've had great success in other areas of the business. So I think what they really need to do is find people that have, like, somebody who has a great Star Wars story to tell. There's got to be A-list filmmakers. I mean, this is an interesting thing about Hollywood. Right now, at the major studios, they basically have a list. Maybe it's not a real list, but a virtual list of people they want to work with, people they want to hire to make their $200 million movies. There's probably only 10 or 15 people on that list, and every studio has the same people on their list. So the question is, of those people, who's going to make it their life's work to give us a great Star Wars movie? And I think we, the fans, have driven any hope of anybody like that to come onto the franchise, because it's, why would you want to set out and spend 2 years or if not 3 years of your life to make a movie that people are just going to shit on? And that's it's a great question to ask. So it's hard. I understand how it's hard to get a great Star Wars movie made these days, because who wants to jump into that fray? But, you know, hopefully it's not hurting Disney, but there is money being left on the table, I think. But then again, that's why they're making Mandalorian. So hopefully it's great. I'm hoping it's great. We'll find out today. Right?
Yep. Game day.
Game day.
Game day.
Matt Sanders sends in a super chat and says, John, I just saw AMC is selling popcorn in grocery stores, including butter. I don't know if that means they're so far in the negative that they've got to sell outside of the theater demo. Well, I got to tell you, Matt, I eat a lot of popcorn. And I think that AMC, it's a product that they're selling. Why not? It's cheap to make. And if it's got that movie theater popcorn taste, hey, I'll eat it. Sounds good to me. And by the way, you know what? That means that, like, if you're out in the world and, like, somebody breaks up with you, heartbreak tastes good in a place like this when you eat AMC popcorn.
Oh, why you?
Oh, my God.
Man, she's cute. I've always loved Nicole Kidman. Oh, all the way back when I first saw her in Dead Calm. Or BMX Bandits. Was that what she was in? BMX Bandits back in the day. She was like 14 or something. Anyway, Days of Thunder. The girlfriend of Cole Trickle.
That what?
Was Tom Cruise's character's name in Days of Thunder was Cole Trickle.
Hmm.
Not kidding. Are you going to give me another? Oh, there we go. Wicked Man says, hey, John. Well, hello. In my opinion, Casey Affleck has the best performance win in the last decade for Manchester by the Sea. You know what? He was great. That movie, I love that movie, but man, is that movie devastating. His portrayal in that movie is great. He is amazing. So I am right there with you. We certainly park our shuttlecrafts in the same shuttle bay. So great movie. If you guys haven't seen Manchester by the Sea, I highly recommend it.
You know what I would recommend to people that we haven't brought up this stream so far? There's a movie called Dune 2021, directed by Denis.
Do you think it might someday be a timeless classic?
One can only hope, Rob. One can only hope.
Well, hey, Dune 2 coming out. Can't wait to see Paul Atreides lead that jihad against the Padishah Emperor Shaddam the IV.
Could I ask you guys something?
Sure.
Do you remember that show called Open Mic?
I
wonder what happened to it.
We're answering questions here.
It just disappeared one day.
And was that day February 28th, 2023?
If it were leap year, we'd have one more day.
If only.
Spencer Nielsen says, I've fallen in love with In the Mood for Love and would love to know what is the next Wong Kar Wai flick that I should check out. Thank you, Spencer Nielsen. I love In the Mood for Love. Criterion just put it out in 4K. It's amazing. And I'll tell you, if I'm a huge Wong Kar-wai fan, and I love. I love Chungking Express and Fallen Angels. They're kind of, they kind of belong together. Fallen Angels is going to be part of Chungking Express, but he made it a separate movie. But watch them together. It's a great Wong Kar-wai double feature. So get Chungking Express and get Fallen Angels. They're both great. And interestingly enough, after Quentin Tarantino got success in the mid-90s, he started his own distribution company called Rolling Thunder, and he brought Chungking Express to America and released it, along with movies like Switchblade Sisters. It was a short-lived distribution company, but it was pretty cool. And that was the first time I'd ever seen a Wong Kar-wai movie, was Chungking Express. And Criterion released a very cool box set of all of Wong Kar-wai's movies. And also, there's kind of a pseudo-sequel to In the Mood for Love called 2049 that you might... Is it 2049? like Blade Runner 2049. I'm thinking 2049, but it's like that 2064. I forget.
2069?
It's not. I don't think it's 2069.
Oh.
But anyway, it's something like that.
2046.
2046?
That's what that's Adam right. Jimenez is saying. 2046.
There you go.
Okay.
Check that out. I'm a big Wong Kar Wai fan. Eddie Vedder's stunt double says, is it difficult for you to separate the art from the artist? For me, it is, and there are times that it really sucks, both of movies and music. Well, that's a good question. Like, I honestly don't think about it that much. I mean, even though, like, I love Roman Polanski's Chinatown. I love Roman Polanski's Rosemary's Baby. Rosemary's Baby is one of my favorite movies, and actually so is Chinatown. And, you know, when I watch those movies, because I just think to myself, there's hundreds of people that work on movies, and... But it is hard. It is hard. But, you know, Rosemary's Baby is an adaptation of Ira Levin's book. So I can separate the art from the artist because I concentrate on the film itself. But I know it's hard for people. It's a very good question. And it's a tough one. That is a tough one. But I think it has to be up to each individual themselves to decide whether or not right. that's definitely a personal call. For me, I'm able to do it. Iran Water says, hi Rob, are you planning to come to the UK soon? If so, do a meetup. Also, would you suggest for new you? Let me start this again. Iran Water says, hi Rob, are you planning to come to the UK soon? If so, do a meetup. Also, would you suggest for new YouTubers to do lots of YouTube shorts? Thanks. Well, first of all, doing YouTube shorts can only help you when you're first starting out. The monetization of shorts is terrible. If you're trying to make money on YouTube, shorts is not the way to do it, at least not yet. But especially if you're witty and you can make funny YouTube shorts and they get picked up by the algorithm, why not? I think YouTube shorts are really, I know John did one yesterday. When we talked about Jar Jar Binks potentially being the one who saved Grogu in the Jedi Temple. He turned that into a short pretty quickly, and I think he got some traction. So, yeah, I think YouTube shorts are good. But congratulations on starting a YouTube channel. I am thinking, I've got to find out more details, but my film Tango Shalom that I produced and edited is going to be playing, from what I understand, at the Berlin Jewish Film Festival in June, and then it was going to open throughout the country. And I was going to come out to Germany and support that. But if I do that, I was also going to do a little bit of a European tour. And I absolutely have to come to the UK to hang out with the lovely Emma Bannon, who's a friend of mine. She and Dean Mikitich. There's Tango Shalom. And you can see it on Peacock or on Amazon Prime right now. But I would love to come to the UK. And if I did come to the UK, I would absolutely have a meetup. And we could stream it live in a bar. Because how much fun would that be? So thank you for asking.
Nice.
What's next?
Well, that is the end of our super chats. However,
what?
We finished a little bit early, and I kind of am in the spicy mood to do something we haven't done in a long time. I want to take three questions from the live chat, if that's cool with you, Rob. We have a little bit of time. So I'll wait. But Rob, in the meantime, who Any do you think? Questions? I have a burning question for you.
AMA?
About The Mandalorian season 3. It's being reported we're going to find out this season who saved Grogu.
Yeah.
Do you think we'll find out tonight, or do you think that's something they're going to save towards
that's a,
the end
you know
the
what
season?
That's a good question. I don't think we're going to find out tonight. I think they're going to let that question linger a little while longer. However, if I'm wrong, I think that by finding out tonight, it's going to have further ramifications for the rest of the season. They've held off telling us for a reason. And I'm really looking forward to finding out.
I'm thinking they're going to tease it tonight. Like Grogu will be having a nightmare or a vision or a flashback to the night of Order 66. By the way, Grogu's been chilling here with me this whole episode, cooing and cawing, whatever the hell that means. And I think it'll cut and end his vision. And they'll tease it a couple more episodes. And then finally, maybe the last episode, the penultimate episode, they'll reveal who it is. I'm thinking Cal Kestis. That's what I'm
thinking.
Wow,
that's interesting.
He looks, you know, they have the actor, looks exactly like the video game. They modeled it after him. I think it could be him. I don't think it'll be Jar Jar.
I
mean,
I was saying that it was Force Ghost Qui-Gon, but maybe not.
Other guess is Borg Gullet. So if it's not Cal Kestis, it's Borg Gullet.
Well, he could certainly read the mind of Grogu.
True, true. All right, I'm going to pick some.
Can we deny, though, the greatness of all the first episodes of every single season of Mandalorian? They really get that show off on a good start.
Oh, yeah.
The first episode of season one, and I believe this first episode of season two
started off. Yeah, they always get it off to a really strong start.
Yeah, so if anything, if it all goes downhill, this will be the highest point tonight.
Yeah, it could be. It's all not right. going to go downhill. I think it's going to be dope.
Question number one. You guys make these good because we're in a spicy mood, or at least I am. Question number one comes from CJ Rebirth. Taylor, what does Rob think of Peter Jackson's King Kong?
Well, I thought you were going to say something. You know what? I thought you were going to say what I thought. You know what? I like King Kong a great deal. I do think it gets a little too goofy, like the rampaging dinosaurs and them running away. It's too long, but I like it. I really like sometimes just chilling out and putting it on. I love the opening in 1930s New York. I think it's great. And I like all the actors. I think it's fun. I enjoy it. But the long version's a little self-indulgent. But that's okay. I don't care. I like it.
All right. Ready for another question, Rob?
I'm ready, dude.
This one comes to us from, oh, shit, it scrolled.
I don't know.
The Cinema Courtroom. Shit. What film quote has resonated with you the most?
Oh my God. What the film quote? I mean, there's so many different film quotes. Probably, I mean, because I'm a Star Trek fan, you know, the first time I ever cried in a movie is when Kirk says in Wrath of Khan, of all the souls I've encountered in my travels, his was the most human. You know, that's a good one. So many quotes in The Godfather. So many quotes in The Godfather. Pick Godfather 1 and 2, and there's always, if history has taught us anything, if anything in this life is certain, if anything in this life is certain, if history has taught us anything, it's that you can kill anyone. They're talking about getting to Hyman Roth. I love that. You know, leave the gun, take the cannoli. It's great. There's so many in there. There's so many great movie quotes. I mean, I could sit here all day and go through different movies.
Ray, do you have a quote that sticks out to you from the movies?
There's one quote, but I guess it's not that important because I don't remember it.
Wonderful. All right, you guys, our last question from the live chat. I saved the best for last. I'm going to be honest. This comes to us from Slim Himbo. Will Dune be a classic?
Yes, Dune will be a classic. I think it is a classic. I love listening to it on my home theater system at home. Mm-hmm. Blows me away. Love Dune. It is a classic. Dune 2 is going to be even classic-er. And I'm looking so forward to it eagerly. I'm most eagerly awaiting. It's my most eagerly awaited movie of the year is Dune 2. Nice. Dune Part 2. I can't wait. Dune, do it.
Dune.
Do.
Poon.
Wow. Okay. Well, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, kind souls, gentle beings, however you identify across these, the 28 known galaxies, this open mic for February 28th, the last February 28th ever in 2023, has come to a close. Taylor, what is so funny?
I thought you were going to say the last open mic ever.
The last February 28th
of 2023.
Yeah. That's very good.
You like that?
That I did kind of enjoy that.
You like that?
For the simplicity and for the intelligence of that statement.
I appreciate
that's
you.
Like 100%. There's no way that's not right.
I know. That, it's great, right?
Yeah. Yep.
Unless
there's guarantees.
Groundhog Day. And
guarantees.
I love it. I'm going to use that from now on.
I want to thank everybody for generously supporting the channel with your super chats. Thank you very much. We very much appreciate it. It keeps us going here. I want to thank our sponsors, Rocket and Rocket Money and Mint Mobile.
Also Jonathan. Oh.
And Taylor Gonzalez for
technically
directing today's show and doing a very fine job. And of course, the great Ray Ora for keeping smiles on all of our faces. Oh my God. Taylor, where can people find you?
Well, you can actually find me on my own YouTube channel, you guys, 50 Shades of Tay. I'll put up a picture of my logo. That's 50 Shades of Tay with 3 Ys. I just put up a video of my trip to Super Nintendo World at Universal Studios Hollywood. I had the most fun there. Almost as much fun as I had today on Open Mic with Rob and Ray. Mm-hmm. Upcoming video will be the overview of Rob's impressive career. I cannot wait to sit down and have a one-on-one conversation with Rob and talk about his whole history in the film industry, from Agent Cody Banks to Texas Chainsaw Massacre 3. And when he was also a reporter in 2006's Superman Returns. See, you guys, I know my shit about Rob, and I cannot wait to sit down and do this with him. Rob, where can people find you?
You can find me on Instagram at RM Burnett. Find me on my own YouTube channel, The Burnett Work, and my show, Robservations, which I do. And find me on Twitter at Burnett RM. And, you know, I'm a social media gadfly, so I'm everywhere.
And I heard you opened up a new account at Pound Town.
Did you want to borrow it?
I need it.
Let's go one more hour. It's early. It's only 4 o'clock.
Ray, where can people find you online?
If I'm online, it's Ray Ora with a zero.
Ray Ora with a zero.
Yep.
And we're going to bring this episode of Open Mic, probably the last episode of Open Mic. We're going to bring this episode to a close. I hope you had a good time. And if you did, leave a comment below. And write something funny about what it was like to watch this episode of Open Mic.
And if you didn't like it, keep it to yourself. And send Rob a script. Send Rob a script about how we about how we can improve.
No, let's not do that.
Let's go.
All right, bye.